In the name of Jesus, amen. So today in our gospel reading, we get a story about a wedding. You know, weddings are usually big parties, happy events. Weddings bring people together. In our gospel reading today, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven like a wedding. It's a popular image in the Bible. It's a big party, a happy event that brings people together. And I have to say, living down here, that I often see happy events happen in this building right across the street here for marriages, the county building where couples get married Monday to Friday. And when you go there, you see people coming together, you see a little party, you see people dressed up. And that's really the same kind of story that Jesus says today, bringing people together, a party, and wearing the right clothes. The promises in the Bible are used to point to our relationship with Christ. Marriage is one of those promises. Scripture says that the church, Christians like you and me, are actually married to Jesus. One of the main images for salvation, of course, is that Jesus saves us from sin. But one of the other images in the Bible used in Ephesians, other parts of scripture, is that we are married to Jesus, all Christians. The Bible describes actually our life in heaven, the life of the world to come, as a wedding party. And as scripture teaches, the marriages that we take in this life between husband and wife are for this life, faithful unto death. And when we die in Christ, we will join the heavenly marriage party, the feast that has no end. All believers in Jesus brought together, a party with Jesus in heaven. And all of this helps explain what Jesus is talking about today in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 22. We heard it in Isaiah long before Matthew as well, a feast for all people, a marriage feast. Jesus himself is getting ready to return to heaven. We get the last teachings of his earthly ministry, the right hand of God. He's ready to go back to the party. And our gospel reading occurs before the party, right before his death and resurrection. And during this last week with his disciples, Jesus tells a story about what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a story about a wedding party. And Jesus tells the wedding story. For married couples out there, if you're like me, you have a wedding story. I bet you do. Jesus tells the wedding story of heaven. Join together in faith and love with Jesus. Jesus says in our story today, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Well, if you slow down a bit and look at it, right, the king, God the Father, King of kings, scripture proclaims, Lord of lords, the Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Servants, messengers, prophets, angels, it could be all of them. They're sent to call and bring to the wedding party everyone who is invited. God the Father invites everyone to the wedding of his Son. Those invited, at least first, they don't come to the wedding feast, or as John puts it in his gospel, the word of God is sent to this world and the world did not recognize him. Again, God the Father sends other servants to tell others, says, look at the food, look at the spread, look at the good things here. And more excuses, business to do, money to make, families to take care of. No one wants to be bothered to change their schedules. It gets so bad that some of the servants in the story are killed by those invited. And this might sound extreme, but as Jesus teaches in Matthew, anytime we hate others in our hearts, and I think ignoring is a kind of hatred, we murder in our hearts. Well, now the king is justly angry. He's the judge after all, and he destroys the murderers, he burns the city, there's judgment. But there's still a party. The king says that the wedding feast is ready. Those invited are not worthy. The king now sends his servants to invite the unworthy, And here it adds both good and bad. And go and invite all you can find, the king says. And the wedding hall is filled with guests. What do weddings require, right? They require planning, usually money, planning, more money. Yet isn't it true that often the most meaningful part of weddings, and I could say this as a pastor, are the promises made by the couple. It's a feeling of happiness as we watch those promises be made. It brings a smile, even in memory. It's being together with family and friends. And the beauty of weddings, it might be prepared by money and planning, but the beauty of it is found in the love that's received, the love expressed, the love given together. The Bible uses that marriage image to describe our relationship as Christians with Jesus. God, our Father, of course, plans our salvation. He spends his grace lavishly on us. He's getting ready before the foundation of the world for years and years. God planned for you and me to be joined together with him on earth, in heaven, in faith, to see Jesus one day face to face. And God our Father knows that the best part of this marriage, like our earthly marriages, is the promises made, the love given, the love received. Jesus is with us always. The best part of marriage, our marriage relationship with Jesus, is that love expressed and given. We are all then unworthy to receive these gifts of God, but thank goodness someone loves us and God-given commitment is possible. As in the wedding story, God the Father brings judgment on those who ignore this gift or who take this gift for granted or just go against this gift. But Jesus is the one who gives his life, who suffers and dies for the good and bad, for those who ignore him and for those who attack him. This story is told as Jesus is getting ready to be ignored and attacked. He tells it right before he suffers death on the cross. Jesus will bear that judgment of the king, the judgment for us. Jesus knows this story he's telling is personal. He gives his life for our eternal life. He dies to take our sin and death and give us his love and forgiveness. We're unworthy to join with this Jesus, but he extends the hand. He promises to be with us always. A marriage that receives this love in Jesus. All of this, I think, all of this background helps us now make sense of the end of this parable or story where we get to what the guy is wearing. During the party, the king sees someone without a wedding garment. Even today, a dress up a little bit for weddings. Someone is not wearing what that person should be wearing. And in the parable, the king throws out that person, not wearing the wedding garment into judgment. Well, we've looked how God has planned the party, and we've looked how God promises to be with us. And now we'll see how even those who can't find the proper thing to wear, God provides that too. The Bible teaches that we are clothed, it says, clothed, put on Christ's righteousness, dresses us up. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, which reveals the wedding party in heaven, says that the followers of Jesus are wearing the white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. The wedding garment is righteousness, salvation, putting on the forgiveness of Jesus, what Jesus covers us with. And God our Father, like the king in the story, sees people through that covering, through what he puts on, through the salvation, the forgiveness of Jesus. There's much to consider then in our gospel reading today, the wedding story that Jesus tells. I think lots of teachings here. For those of us who are married, the wedding parable of Jesus reminds us that our marriages are in with and under our marriage to Jesus Christ. Our faithfulness to our spouses testifies to the faithfulness of Jesus to us. That's a witness that we give. And just as God our Father sees through the forgiveness of Christ, we are forgive and to see our spouses through the forgiveness of Christ. But for all of us, whether you're married or not, and this is the more important part of the reading, it reminds us of the great wedding story that all of us who believe and follow Jesus are joined with him in everlasting promises. We often sing this song in worship. This is the feast of victory for our God. That song is about revelation. It's about the wedding song, this feast that has no end. We look forward to the ultimate event. We're not there yet. When we see Jesus face to face, when we enjoy the wedding party in heaven without end, and every time we come together in worship, we sing that song, we come to this table, we get a little sneak preview. We get a little taste. We get a sign, if you will, of what's to come, a preview of the party in heaven. And I think our gospel reading today also then, a little more pointedly, reminds us not to take the party for granted. Not to take our relationships with Jesus for granted. Not to put it into the whole mix of schedule instead of putting it first. There are many excuses. There are many pressures. There are many cares and concerns that lead us away from Jesus. And just like every healthy marriage needs attention and care, so our relationship with Jesus, that marriage, needs that care and time. And that's how Jesus ends the parable. He says, many are called, few are chosen. Chosen here meaning those who realize they are chosen by God, loved in Jesus. Can't wait to get back to the party. Our gospel reading is about this wedding party. They're meant to be happy, to bring people together. And the Christian life, while realistic about sin and death, our gospel reading points to is a happy life. It's a life lived trusting that whatever happens, Jesus promises to be with us. And just like in marriages, the wedding stories that the couple share lead to a smile in the present. The wedding story that we have with Jesus should put a smile on our face. It's the kind of happiness and faithfulness that brings people together. Where two or three are gathered in this name, Jesus says, he's there. The weather's turning colder. Winter seems nearer. And this week, as life confronts us with all of the inevitable challenges, remember the wedding story of Jesus. And like married couples who keep pictures of their wedding day for rainy days, see Jesus being faithful unto death and beyond, in sickness and in health. Amen.